hey, I'm Sided Williams. This is my pal Average Trey. We both have Twitch accounts. We also have Twitters. Welcome to the podcast. This is Video Games Are Hard. Video Games Are Hard
comes from the... I guess we're starting now. Hey.
Video Games Are Hard comes from me saying video games are hard a lot.
We have not figured out how to intro this thing yet, but what we do know is that we have started right now. Here we go.
Welcome to episode two. I'm Average Trey. Sided Williams. This is Average Trey.
Yes. Episode two. And well, kind of episode two. We did record something after the previous one that we uploaded, but let's just say that, okay, my standards were way too high for us initially, and I thought that first thing we recorded was just not good enough for YouTube. You know, it wasn't going to make the cut. So instead, we recorded a second one. When did we record it? Like a week ago?
I don't know. Yeah.
I think it was a week or two ago. We recorded... It was essentially... We covered the same exact stuff as that first episode, except we did maybe like a couple more things on top of that. But when it came down to it, it was like a watered-down version of it, and we're just throwing it out now. This is the real episode, too. Here we go.
To be fair, we did cover talking about, like... I kind of want to go back into that episode and, like, take bits out, because we did talk about the tier list thing in Super Mario Sunshine,
yeah,
if anybody's been around. Right. So... We covered that pretty well, and I liked that part. And we talked about, like, casual gaming, but also we can talk about casual gaming whenever the fuck.
So if we cover stuff we covered in that one that we didn't actually use, we'll just pretend like we never talked about it before.
Yeah, it's not like anybody else knows. It's like, whoa, no tier lists. That's the first time Trey and I are ever talking about that.
Oh, yeah, we should talk about those darn tier lists, shouldn't we? Huh.
Did you hear that Ouija deleted his? Oh,
what?
That's so crazy.
No, actually... Well, this is actually kind of good because I can actually be more accurate now. He didn't delete the spreadsheet. He just deleted his tweet of it.
Oh.
So the spreadsheet still exists. There's just no tweet. So if you want to see it, I got the hookups, bro.
Good thing I bookmarked it because you know what?
Yeah, I'm always looking at that.
I got 35th out of 43 and went, oh my God, this is the best thing I've ever seen in my life. This is the most praise I've ever gotten for playing a video game.
But speaking of praise, I got to praise... I honestly think... For the most part, it's a pretty solid tier list for the most part. From
sure.
a purely movement standpoint, I agree with most of it. My movement is not exactly, it's not the craziest movement ever. You know, my consistency usually carries me. So
you're
it makes
consistent
sense.
You're consistent at unoptimized things.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. I'm fine with the tier lists, like all in all. Like at first I was kind of annoyed with them, but... The fact that somebody brought it up this way, and I kind of agree with it, it's runners ranking themselves, essentially. So it's just like Super Mario Sunshine runners. The only people that know enough to rank Super Mario Sunshine runners is another Super Mario Sunshine runner. So it's essentially just a friend of yours or an acquaintance of yours just like ranking everybody. And I get how that's kind of scummy, but it's the only person that could do it. It's not like we have analysts that can come in and be like the NFL guys. Like the NFL.
Well, and I think Ouija doing it is fine because he's very clearly like top two or top one at movement. So, I mean, it's fine if he does it, I'd say.
Who was 43rd? We should get whoever was 43rd on the
Ouija
tier list.
I believe it was Wilco.
Who was it?
Wilco.
Okay, we got to get Wilco to make an SMS tier list.
Yo, I would trust Wilco to be on. He knows his shit. He's smart. I've seen him.
So yeah, what it be, what it do. This is Sid and Trey coming to you. I'm going
to That was our original idea. We actually used that the previous one.
You know what? We got to reiterate. We got to have some consistency. You know what? We're probably not going to use that forever because it's trash.
What if we just throw that in somewhere in every episode? It could be like 80% through the episode we just say that.
Just like we have a lull. It's like, what it be, what it do.
awkward silence. What it be, what it do. Sid and Trey coming to you.
You said that so fast. That was so talented. So
I'm so used to saying it, I just became rap god at it, I guess. What can I say?
Mm-hmm. So, one thing that I had written down for this podcast, like we don't want to be like speedrunner podcast, but we also don't want to not be speedrunner podcast.
We essentially, we're gonna have a good ratio of speedrun to non-speedrun stuff.
So what I was thinking is, like by attempting to not be speedrunner podcast, but also be speedrunner podcast, we're probably going to end up being speedrunner podcast, essentially.
It's almost inevitable. We're going to try to be like, yeah, we got to have all this other stuff too. But for the most part, what we do is speedrun. So it's kind of hard to.
So the PlayStation 5 got essentially not leaked, like PlayStation announced it, but it was basically like a tweet. A Wired article came out. I didn't really read it. I heard somebody else talk about the Wired article and talk about like little details about the PS5 and how you can like, they're divvying up the ways you can download games, and you can download just the multiplayer version, and you can just play the, you can just download the single player version. And for specific games, you can actually load in, instead of loading the entire game, you can load into specific missions. And I thought of that, when I heard that, I was just like, speedruns. like you just load in the mission, finish the mission, and then that's the speedrun. Like, you just turn on the game, go right into it. Instead of watching Airstrip or loading the game, you know, you just load the mission, kind of a thing.
You know, and I don't really follow PlayStation stuff because I've never been a PlayStation person, but that sounds pretty futuristic, pretty progressive.
I thought it sounded, like, at first when they were saying it, I was like, that sounds whack. That sounds super whack. I've been using the word whack lately, by the way. And
hey, whack is good.
I'm totally down with whack.
But wait, I don't really, maybe I don't fully understand. So instead of downloading the entire game as like a whole package, you can just download specific parts of a game?
No. Well, you can download the multiplayer and the single player version. Like, they're going to divvy it up like they've in the past done with Call of Duty and stuff. So
you can, like, if you want to get a game but only want to play the multiplayer part of it, you can, at a discounted price, just play for the multiplayer.
I don't know if that's the way they're going to do it. It might be just purchase the whole thing and then... I think they did have that for one Call of Duty where you could purchase just the multiplayer, but they're just
talking
about...
Dude, at this point, no one gives a shit about the campaign of Call of Duty anyway, so...
Dude,
I don't know.
Low-key, I know somebody's going to agree with me on this. Some Call of Duty campaigns are really fucking good.
I agree. The Call of Duty 4 campaign was amazing, in my opinion.
Yeah.
That was a classic.
But basically, I think it's just going to be you pay the full price, and then instead of downloading 800 or 82 gigs worth of a video game, which is, I think Red Dead Redemption 2 is 82 gigs.
Oh, I forgot kind of how big video games these days are.
Yeah. They're also going to, PS5 is going to have 100 gig Blu-ray discs.
Ooh.
So I don't know if that affects anything, but that's a lot.
It's that's certainly fucking, something.
So I might buy that instead of downloading the whole thing, but maybe not.
It certainly sounds like something Chad Warden would brag about.
But the divvying up of multiplayer and single player has been done in the past, but it's just basically buying the whole game and then choosing which things to download instead of downloading an 82 gig game. But the one thing that affected speedrunners in my mind was, like, you have the game on your console, and then you're able to just load in whatever level or whatever thing you'd like. And I thought that was very interesting from a speedrunner perspective. I don't know how much it would affect anything. I don't know if there would be any games. Because everybody thinks about Nintendo as just the speedrunner console, right? Where...
Well, for the most part, there's definitely a number of people who, you know, speedrun PC games like Dark Souls and stuff.
Oh, yeah, and like the Source
but,
games.
But, yeah, in general, when you think speedrun, you think classic Nintendo games and stuff.
Yeah, there's, like, the top three are, like, Ocarina of Time, 64, like, Celeste
and now
is
Odyssey.
Getting up there.
Super Actually, Odyssey. Odyssey overtook 64 for the most number of players.
Ugh.
Very Gross. Recently.
Gross. People like to...
You know, we like to shit on Odyssey because it's fun, but... I gotta hand it to them, man. They got stats.
We didn't release the episode that shits on Odyssey.
Oh yeah, we shat on Odyssey. No, we love the game. It's a great game. We just, it's funny to shit on the speedrun community for no reason.
Yeah, it's really funny. It's just like they ground pound and then they start frantically shaking their controllers.
Lol, we gotta shake the controller to roll faster. Lol. Lul.
But yeah, so it's Zelda games like Ocarina of Time, Mario 64, Sunshine, Odyssey. Like Link to the Past, like all these old retro Zelda games. The newest game that's really hot in the speedrun circuit is Celeste, and that's very reminiscent of like old side scrolly platformers, mostly Nintendo-esque kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So like essentially to become a good speed game with the community that we have nowadays is, I don't know, kind of harken back to the old days, but also have like some sort of skill ceiling, like a really high skill ceiling. That's also a way to do it. But I
it
don't
either
know.
Has to be a really good platformer or a Zelda game.
Yeah, essentially.
One of those two criteria has to be met.
So, like, or a Mario game. Like, you say
and Mario really was platformer. So, there you go.
You say really good platformer or Zelda game, but I'm like, or Mario game because Odyssey, you know?
Well, like, I say that because, like, Celeste is in Mario. It's just a good platform game.
Yeah.
So, there you go.
No, I'm just arguing that Odyssey's a bad game. Because you can't say good platformer and Zelda game, you know? You have to put Mario. Kidding.
He's kidding, guys. Don't.
Don't, please.
Don't cancel Sid for his opinion.
I just wanted to say a really long-winded joke, and then Trey started cutting me off. I'm like, no, I need to explain my joke.
Ah, shit. I apologize.
Ah, shit. But
ah, shit.
In the next generation, I don't know if... Maybe there's going to be a game that'll be speedrunnable, but it's really hard to find games that are released nowadays with, like, AAA development to speedrun.
Well, okay, Grand Theft Auto is pretty popular to speedrun, too. You'd be surprised.
I would be, probably.
I know GTA 3 and GTA 4 were like really big Twitch streamers for those games. Maybe even still now. I don't really know.
So being able to load into specific missions might be really cool. That's pretty much all I wanted to talk about because nothing else from the PS5 press release essentially really, I don't know, ticked a speedrunner box for me. But I'm just like, loading specific missions? Like, that could be really cool. But, like, also my casual perspective is just like, why? But then my speedrunner brain, like I was saying in the first episode a month ago, we literally recorded the first episode that you heard last week a month ago.
Yeah, it's a month ago from today. Wow.
And the only reason I remember what I was talking about in that episode, because I listened to most of it. I know I didn't listen to the end of it again because I didn't want to, because I know the ending was kind of like, we fell over each other. I know you were just like, we should wrap it up soon.
I think I listened back to it again. I think it was fine, to be honest.
Okay. Our second episode
I just like plugged today's thing, and I plugged the video I'm making with EasyScape and stuff and all that.
Oh, yeah. That's why the comment on the EasyScape thing. It's like, oh, so hyped about the EasyScape. I'm just like, I'm Sid.
Follow us on Twitter. What the fuck? Who are these people?
Ooh.
Who's EasyScape? but yeah, I think what Sony's doing is they're appealing to clearly the biggest market of gamers, speedrunners.
I don't think anything is trying to appeal to anything.
By far the biggest market to appeal to.
They're trying to appeal to it by loading in specific missions. I thought it might be kind of cool. That's kind of the
sounds, I don't really know exactly what that's about, but that sounds pretty neat.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said in that episode we didn't release as well, I mentioned potentially getting a PS5 so I could play both the remastered Last of Us and Last of Us 2.
Yeah, because we talked about casual gaming to an extent on the podcast we recorded that will not ever be released, probably.
It was so shitty. It cannot see the light of day, ever. So bad.
But, yeah,
it was a fun episode. It's just like, we didn't fully figure out the audio. We were testing out the current setup for the first time, and my speakers were way too loud, so Sid sounded super echoey, and it was just kind of weird.
It's not my fault. It was Trey's fault. Trey's fault. It's Trey's fault that I was echoey.
I fucked it up, everybody.
Yeah. But I talked about how good Last of Us was, essentially.
Yep.
From a writing perspective.
And I've never owned a PlayStation console, so I've never played one. But Sid was like, oh, well, they're going to re-release it. Or it's already out on PS4, right?
Yes. But PS5 is supposed to be backwards compatible.
Yeah, the backwards compatibility. So I can play both of them and see what that crazy story's all about myself.
But it's not a bad game to play. A lot of people kind of rag on Last of Us, or I've heard people, I don't think it's a lot of people, but there are some people that definitely rag on Last of Us. It's just like, oh, it's a really well-written game, and it's definitely like changes the landscape in that kind of way for gamers, but also it controls like garbage. It's like, no, it's a third-person shooter, and it's a third-person crafting shooter where you, like, from the environment, you pick up materials, and then you
craft
whatever you throw, like, there are flashbangs, essentially, but they're just like smoke bombs. I guess they're smoke bombs. They're smoke grenades. They're not flashbangs.
It's Minecraft Call of Duty. Interesting.
It's Minecraft Call of Duty, but from a third-person perspective with a really good story.
Gears of War. Sorry, my bad.
Yeah. No. Call of Duty totally worked. It totally worked.
Yeah, sure. There is third-person mode of that, I guess.
Where you also play as a lesbian.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so... Yeah, there's a lot of cool things like learning, like upgrading your character and RPG elements and playing from a third-person shooter perspective on a console that doesn't have shitty aiming like Red Dead Redemption. Shooting in Red Dead Redemption 2 is so bad. And Quan says it's so good, but it's literally when you hold L, you auto lock to an enemy and you can tap up on the right stick to shoot them in the head. And it's just, ugh. That's why because when Red Dead Redemption 2 was coming out, everybody was talking about, like, oh, we're going to get it on PC. And I think I was talking to Phoenix spelled correctly, who's a Mario Kart Double Dash runner. I was talking to him about Red Dead Redemption 2, and they were talking, Rockstar was saying that they weren't going to release it on the PC, or they didn't have plans to release it on PC. It's been a year. They've now are talking about releasing it on the PC. I think it's in a month, something like that. You showed me the advertisement for it. But I bought it on PS4. So I'm sitting here going, like, I was waiting for the PC version, or I was going to, and then I was just like, I'll get it. I didn't really enjoy it because of specifically the controls. Now it's being released on PC, and now I'm mad.
I kind of knew deep down they'd eventually do it, to be honest.
Yeah. But I wanted to see what the hype was about. Everybody was so hyped on this game. Oh my god, the story. Oh, you can feed what was that thing that got people in hot water? There was feeding the
you can like beat up some feminist thing or something.
Yeah, there was a there was a feminist rally person that you could feed to an alligator, and that got him like,
I can vaguely remember that now.
He got like banned off YouTube for something. He got suspended. Was it Twitter? I don't know.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Or Twitter. It was one of the two. And I was just like, lol. And I followed him because of it. Because I like to do that kind of thing.
Because you're a terrible person.
Because I'm a terrible person.
No, you just love drama.
I love drama. I love it.
Who doesn't love drama, though?
I try to start it as much as I can with like a trolley percent or with a trolley attitude, but also sometimes I get genuinely angry at specifically Reed, and that's it.
Sid likes to stir the pot a little bit in the SMS community, you know, liven it up a little. Sometimes people have like some backlash to that, but I'd say they're overreacting.
It's rare. Usually everybody's just like, oh, it's Sid. You know, it's like
Sid's just fucking around. It's fine.
Yeah, he's a good guy. He's trying to save the IL tournament, but you know what? He's a good guy.
Oh, we should talk about the IL tournament coming up, shouldn't we?
I didn't even write that down, but we should.
That's a pretty, you're pretty passionate about that, though.
Yes.
So.
I wanted to see how long it went before you said anything.
So what about it?
Like, I know you mentioned the IL tournament, and then I was just like, yes, I want to see if you have
anything. Okay,
to
before you explain why you're a little concerned about it, I'll give a brief introduction about it.
Go for it.
So, I'm pretty sure this is the first time ever the SMS community has done something like this, mm-hmm. or a tournament of this format. But essentially, at some point in the future, the near future, there's going to be a Sunshine Community individual level tournament. People go head to head, face off in random individual levels, see who gets the better time in a given time frame. You can like grind out for, I don't know, a couple of minutes. One level at a time and see who gets a better time. But that format, from a spectator standpoint, could have some problems from what I understand.
Well, it's a monkey ball rule set. Do we want to talk about that first?
But yeah, the rule set. We didn't invent that rule set. It came from monkey ball, which for that game, it could make sense from what I can tell, because monkey ball is a lot less consistent than Sunshine. Many more strats in that game are just sort of YOLO-y, like bouncing off random platforms to make really precise strats work. Whereas Sunshine, one tries may work better because you can decide to go for like the fastest possible thing, which is somewhat risky, or like something slightly slower. But even then, in Sunshine, it's much more realistic to become consistent at insanely hard strats if you're really good. So
Sunshine's a more lenient game. It's not forcing
right,
you to
much
do
more
anything.
Lenient than Monkey Ball.
Like Monkey Ball, you can do the ultra casual strat and tilt the world in such a way that you go around the corkscrew. Yeah, but nobody wants to watch that, you know? But there's definitely layers to Super Mario Sunshine where it's just kind of like an open world and you can do whatever. You want to go from point A to point B, but there's a lot of ways to do so. There isn't like a super strict path that the game
especially
wants
with Flood as a mechanic, it just adds way more depth to what you can possibly do.
So the rule set now, like Trey said, is you have multiple
you
minutes
get a couple of minutes
aisle.
To attempt something, so you can like redo a level over and over again until you get it in a certain time frame.
Yeah. So what that equates to and what Guy... For this segment, I'm going to reference random people And if you're not involved with the SMS community, that's fine. But know that these people are just probably other Sunshine runners. Okay? They also run Sunshine, whether they're amazing at the game or horrible at the game or in between. They are most likely Sunshine runners. I'm not going to stop every time. It's like, another notable Sunshine runner.
Come on. Like, a name like Guy, you got to be making that up, right?
Guy 2308. 2309 on Twitter.
That's true. Or Guy 2000, most informally.
Yeah. From his, please continue. That's what his friends call him.
Yeah, that's what the homies call him.
Yeah. If you don't call him that, call him 2308 and pay respect to his
You got to know him personally to call him Guy 2000. Otherwise, yeah. 2308.
Please.
Show some respect.
The rule set now, and it's probably going to go through this way, is you have multiple minutes to grind an individual level. Which, on the surface, you kind of look at it and you're like, okay, sure. You know? But,
and that was my perspective. I thought, yeah, that sounds reasonable, I guess. Whatever.
But I think I've been vehement about this. I've talked, like, the first night I ranted to 7 different people, and then I ranted to Trey the next day, and then I ranted the paper that evening. Paper, who's also running the tournament somehow. I don't even know.
But, somehow. I mean, he's a mod of SMS. It makes sense.
My suggestion for it, and it's like I've talked about it. I've said my piece. I'm fine with them going through with the rule set that they're going to go with, but I think it's a mistake. That's fine. I think it should be one tries. And back in May, right? I think back in May, we were watching the Mario Kart Double Dash One Try tournament,
which I took part in, by the way.
Pardon me?
I was in that tournament.
You were in that tournament.
Or it wasn't a tournament. It was a league. So. Yeah. There was like an 11-week period where it was round robin, essentially. You play everyone in the league once. There's 11 people total. You play all 10 people one time a week. Or how do I phrase that? You play each person once, but it's once a week, right?
You play every person once a week. And
no.
you go through all the 31 other people. And you play them once a week, and it's hard to schedule, but you know what? It's worth it for the fans.
Yep.
But so essentially, Mario Kart Double Dash One Try Tournament was playing each or like 13 out of 16 tracks. You got bans because people are obscenely good at some tracks, so you just kind of remove their one safe track. And
yeah,
you play
there
one
was
tries.
A really good system in place where so there's 16 tracks in the whole game. It's actually a pretty small amount of tracks for most Mario Karts, but there are 16 tracks. In Double Dash.
Yep.
So it's best of 13 for each one. And each player gets to ban one track that they're particularly weak at, or they might think their opponent's strong at. Mm-hmm. And the higher seeded person gets to pick first. And whoever loses that picks the next track. You go from there.
I didn't know the higher seed picked, but sure.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's how format worked. And it was one tries, and you get to do the full 3 laps, and whoever won that race. Not being on the same console, obviously, being on separate setups, and whoever got the faster time in the time trial won, and then you went on, and there were bans, and first to 7 wins, but you played all of the tracks in order to figure out how many points you got, because it was a league, and points mattered. Anyway, so when I watched that, after a few times watching that and thinking it was super hype, which it was super hype to watch, I'm not saying it, anyway.
Especially me when I got 13-0'd by Goomba. That was pretty sick.
Dude, I loved watching that. You know what? Put that fucker in his place. That's what I said. but super, I thought that watching that and talking with Optimistic Emo and Phoenix Bell correctly and Trey at the time, that potentially Super Mario Sunshine could be like it could be a favorable game for a one-try setting. Not a lot of people were with me at first. I feel like there was a little bit of pushback.
You were talking about this. This was like a few months ago back when that Double Dash thing actually happened. This was like May or something.
Yeah, it was in May. Did you have a...
No, that's all.
I already covered that it was in May, Trey. I thought you had something else.
I was trying to put into perspective how long ago this was. Yeah, you had this idea.
And like Reed was involved. We made the IL list and we talked about the potential rule set. And my argument essentially is that because basically it's against the rule set we're using right now, which is grind for 3 minutes or 5 minutes or 8 minutes or 2 minutes or whatever. Like they're going to change it up, even though signups end yesterday. If you're listening to this podcast, it should be. like signups should end soon or have already ended?
I have no idea. I'm actually not signing up for it just because I've been so busy recently. Also busy with this podcast, of course.
So. Yeah, so busy.
But, you know, I still plan on commentating, and I guess you do as well.
Yeah, we'll probably end up commentating something, and I'll maybe... I probably won't complain about it on the... You know what? I've said I'll complain about it on the commentary, but I probably won't. I'll be like, whoa, this is the most hyped thing! I love Monkey Ball rule sets! Oh! But...
there we go.
So, my proposition was one tries, and bans, and, like, essentially... making a random number generator for each IL valid for the tournament. It, like, removing a lot of Delfino shines that not a lot of people know, like Left Bell, Right Bell, Lighthouse, like Shine Gate, like,
and
all
also,
those kind of...
any shines with RNG in them, like Rico 3 has the Crane, so it's no good. Yeah. Bianco, so like, 5, obviously, stuff like that.
So removing a bunch of the... people, the ones that people would have a problem with, a bunch of Delfino shines. And the only reason a bunch of Delfino shines is because... our first pass of the rule set was best of however many worlds. So, like, best of 5 worlds. So you'd go to you'd ban worlds, or best of 3 worlds, and you'd ban worlds. It's like, I ban Noki, which is a world in Super Mario Sunshine. I feel like if you're this far into this podcast, you know what Super Mario Sunshine is, because I'm talking about an IL rule set.
And also, you're watching it on my channel, which you probably saw the history video at some point.
Yeah.
So.
I feel like every single episode we're going to reference the world record history video.
I mean, on my channel, you almost have to. It's like, by the way, I made this video.
Did you see my SSX Alaska IL?
Whoa, that thing that has almost 1,000 views?
What? Damn. Oh my God, that's crazy. But so it's best of worlds, and we banned worlds. And then we went, this is lame, because it would be maybe it wouldn't be the same bans every time, but it would be the same worlds.
That sucks, because like, every world has their good and bad levels. There's no one who specializes in an entire world, you know?
And also, in different worlds, like, we would have Pianta 5 removed for Chuckster RNG, and we'd have Bianco 5 removed for PD RNG, and we'd have Chain Chomplets removed for Chain Chomplet RNG, and, like, all these different levels removed for their own specific reasons, so it would be kind of weird, and inaccurate, and uneven, I guess, is the word. So we went... hey, why don't we just make a world out of those ILs? So essentially we decided to do like a random number generator, give each level or episode or shine a random number, and then generate a world out of those, like however many worlds, 10 or however many episodes.
I think it was
shines.
You would do 7 different codes, right?
Yes, 7 or 11 or like however many, and then you'd make a world out of that essentially. And then you'd ban out of those. Instead of banning out of a world of Bianco, you'd ban out of a world of a randomly generated world with just like however many, like Rico 2 could be in it, Rico 4 Reds, Pinahundo, Pianta 3. I'm trying to think of like valid ones at the same time, but just like a random generated set of ILs. And then you'd ban from those each competitor. And then a best of 3 of those specific worlds. And then you get a point for winning a best of 3 and then play 3 or 5 of those. And then whoever wins that wins. But
I actually have the document of the original rule set right here. I can read it off really quick.
Go for it.
Okay. Assign each shine a number. Then 10 shines are selected into each packet by using a random number generator. No repeat levels. Best of 5 levels in each packet. 2 levels are banned from each packet. Each packet win gives you 1 point. First to 3 point wins. Mm-hmm. And also, there was a potential idea to have this thing where you'd have lifelines, where could use a lifeline, like, oh, you got to use a Cernit nozzle for this level, or this level hoverless. And I don't really know about that, but it was a cool idea.
We were making a rule set. We weren't.
Yeah, we were trying to think of cool ideas to mix it up a little bit.
Yeah. And I know Optimistic Emo, another Mario Kart Double Dash runner, he's also dabbled in Sunshine, but he's not dabbled, but he hasn't really... I don't know. He's a Mario Kart Double Dash player. And Reed, a notable Sunshine player. Reed ended up losing, actually, to Optimistic Emo with this rule set, which is kind of funny. But I think the only way this tournament works is for one tries. And the reason that I think one tries is the only way it works is because Guy put it this way. He thought that it was one tries at first. And then I explained to him, no, you got a certain... amount of time to grind each level, and then after the amount, so to be fair to the rule set that's probably going to go through, it You have 3 minutes to grind an individual level in order to, and then the best time that you get goes up against your competitor's best time that they got in the in that set amount of time, and then whoever wins out of those two times wins. And then, like, I don't know, best of five or something. I don't even know. Bans somehow exist. I don't really know what to the extent is going to be changed about the rule set.
On the surface, that seems pretty sound. Like, okay, you can get a better run potentially because you get 3 minutes of attempts to do it. You can mess up the first jump for 2 minutes straight and then finally get a good run. And it's like, okay, woo, you got a good run. Sick.
Yeah. But you're also going to be watching somebody, God forbid, who's good at the game. Or not good at, God forbid. God forbid... is bad.
Not so good at the game.
Yeah. And so you're, best case scenario, you're watching like the best players at the game grind and probably mess up for 2.5 minutes and then getting an insane strat maybe once, maybe not even.
Well, either that or they're about to run out of time, but they want to play it safe, just do like a regular strat and go with that time.
Yeah. So
like all that build up just for a regular thing.
It doesn't.
Potentially.
It doesn't really pay off. I feel like the reason that this rule set exists is because they're trying to force IL strats into this kind of rule set, like individual level strats being you're playing for 5 hours straight trying to get this one frame perfect trick, like a really hard trick that you don't do in regular runs, RTA runs, because you'd ruin it because it's really hard to get even in the context of literally a minute.
Yeah, how did you describe it? It's like a mini IL grind.
Yeah,
essentially.
That's how Guy described it. So,
because, you know, a regular IL grind, you could be grinding for upwards of, you know, hours, but this is trying to compact that into like 5 minutes or whatever at a time, which I don't know how well that really work, but either way, from like a spectator standpoint, it may not be the most interesting thing to watch.
That's basically my argument. I feel like nobody would want to watch that. Like, IL streams exist, and people can watch people grind individual levels. It's just like, oh,
they're not very
to
popular
really
to watch,
strat.
But they exist.
Yeah, he's trying to grind really a really hard strat for upwards of 7 hours. I've done that before on Noki 6 Reds. But you know what? You know how many viewers I got for that shit? Like none. So not a lot of people like to watch it. And I argue from a spectator and a commentator perspective that one tries is just like quick to the point, next round, bans. Talking about what character or what each player would be good or bad at, and I don't have to watch multiple screw. See, the way I put it, and I think the only I had a lot better points, and I went through it a lot better the first night, but it's basically boiled down to this argument where it's just if nothing matters to the competitor, then why does the audience care? Like, why at that point does the audience care? If nothing matters, then nobody cares. So if you play Rico 4 and then you die in the secret, or you play any of the secrets and then you die in the secret, you should be punished for it. Like, you should be able to finish the secret with a time without dying in order to compete in this tournament.
That's especially true for doing ILs of secrets where you can die or something.
Yeah.
Because there's just no stakes at all. Like, obviously... players of a decent level or better are going to be able to get through Rico 4 with no problem without dying at some point in a 5 minute period. But if there's like no worry about dying, you can die, I don't know, a few times and still finish a run and be fine. There's really no stakes in that. And it's just like, okay, well, he won by a couple frames after, you know, this many attempts in the time limit. So he wins.
But the argument against that is like I think it was written this way. J. Cool and JJ and Paperario, they're all the leadership of this tournament, but it was argued this way where they don't want consistency to be above everything else or like to be on the podium. Like you have to be consistent at these ILs. But if you're requiring somebody to perform within 3 minutes, there's consistency required at some point.
Like, yeah, you're still to some extent requiring consistency if you're not giving them unlimited time.
But they're just trying to like showcase the best strats possible in each level.
But then at that point, just watch actual successful ILs.
Yeah, well, that's what I proposed in addition, because not everybody that joins this tournament is probably going to be an IL god. Like, Ouija's really fucking good at ILs, but it's not going to be Ouija every single match. It's not, Ouija's not playing every competitor in this game in a week, you know, like the Mario Kart Double Dash tournament, am I right?
There's only a handful of players this could maybe be interesting for. I'm not one of them. I'm not an IL runner by any means, so.
It might be interesting for me to play hundreds, but that's it.
Yeah, because you're the hundreds guy. So.
But that's it. Like, that's literally it. Like, Bianco Hundo, it'd be interesting for me, people to watch, and then they're just like, I'm sick of flowers. I'm sick of watching him spray flowers, you know?
Actually, it'd be good for me on one level, and that's Noki 3.
And Rico 5.
Well, actually, apparently I don't have the record on that one.
No!
But I got to just point out really quick. I was streaming earlier today, and I demolished the Noki 3 gold split time. Guess what I got?
What'd you get? I'll guess.
Yeah, it's your job. Guess.
It's just like guess. It's like, wait, what'd you get? 122.6.
Lower.
Lower. 122.1.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know where it came from, but it was the Noki 3 of the century. I don't know.
That's badass, man. That's way better.
Yeah, man. The most important shine, red coins in a bottle, baby.
Dude, red coins in a bottle, low key, pretty fucking fun.
Hell yeah. It's the one thing I excel at, apparently.
I don't
know.
My whole
please
point.
Continue, whatever. Your
my whole point was. About this IL tournament, I feel like it'd be a lot better to watch it for one tries.
But that being said, I think I don't blame them for trying out something new, because for the most part, for tournaments and SMS stuff, they've always been, you know, RTA, favoring consistency, full game run type stuff. So I can't blame them for mixing it up, trying out a new format that may or may not work. Go ahead.
I don't know how you make a competitive setting in anything without requiring consistency or RTA.
Yeah, that's also true. Like, imagine in the Olympics, if you're doing a 100-meter dash, you get like 10 attempts or something. That'd be kind of weird.
Yeah, it's just like, oh yeah, okay. So here's Usain Bolt's. Like, you get a side by side of the top two sprinters of all time. All right.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to watch them attempt just beside each other, not necessarily against one another, just like against themselves.
Yeah, yeah. They just
however
like,
many times.
Yeah, but, dude, we never thought Usain, this is a perfect example.
Like, but Usain Bolt, like, trips three times in a row, you know? But it doesn't matter, you know? Him tripping doesn't matter at all for his first three times. But his fourth time, he gets world record. But the other guy, totally consistent, just like gets high nines every single time. But then Usain Bolt trips three times and then gets a low nine.
Yeah, the future of the Olympics, they just, instead of like the one and done type deal for each heat, you just get a 10-minute period where you can just, you know, go whenever you want. Just they'll time you when you start and take your best time in that 10-minute period. There you go.
It's the equivalent of batting practice. That's what I like in the moment you're going to have to hit that baseball. You're going to have to hit that baseball as hard as you can, or try to hit that baseball as hard as you can and try to hit a home run. But in the batting cage, you have as many attempts as you want in order to get it. I don't know.
Exactly.
I don't get it.
Baseball, yeah.
Yeah. But and then the argument is like they'll do worse strats. I'm like, well, you can do a showcase.
And you can, if you're good enough, you can still go for pretty hardcore strats and pull them off in one try. Like, we're supposed to be good at this game, after all.
Yeah, we're supposed to be the top players of this video game, and we're requiring us to do multiple attempts anyway.
It's like, I don't know, man. I don't know if I can go for those hard strats. I might mess them up and embarrass myself. Oh, God.
Yeah, exactly.
My career would be over.
That's kind of where I think it's coming from. People are just, like, feeling like
it's a place of pride. It's a pride thing, I think.
Yeah, if they screw up, they'll feel bad or something, and they want more of a chance to show off what they got. Instead, we should have just like Oatflaker and Ouija and like all these IL players and do like a showcase on Sunshine Community.
Yeah, I think it'd be much better like in a showcase format where it's like an actual IL grinding event where you actually get, you know, an hour or two and see what you can get in that time.
Yeah. Or that's good. I'm not saying that's bad, but we could also do like just you and I host a thing on Sunshine Community and then have Ouija in the call and we talk about like a lot of his IL world records just like what the fuck and just talk about it and show it on stream
or like we could get Ouija on the podcast and talk about it there
or we that could also happen or we could talk we could get Jaquel on the podcast and we could argue about this IL tournament anyway.
Anyone who wants to defend themselves on their opinion on the IL tournament, feel free to come on and defend yourself
or message us.
Just send an angry DM to Sid.
Yeah, just send an dude. I'm so used to angry DMs, random bullshit. You made fun of me game overing in a bingo tournament. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh God, yeah.
You know what? I'm
he proves that Canadians are not all nice after all.
I'm so mean. But yeah, so that was our first half talking about IL tournament rule sets. What have you been casually playing, Trey?
Ooh, I don't know if you know this little known Nintendo IP, Fire Emblem.
I've never
Three
heard
houses.
Of it.
Been playing that quite a bit. I think in the Forbidden episode we're not releasing.
Yep.
I sort of covered this insane Death Knight kill that I got. I clutched it out on Madden.
No, the Death Knight kill that you didn't get.
That I didn't get, but then I did eventually get.
Uh-huh.
And it was epic, but I don't know how interesting that really was to explain.
Dude, basically, I enjoyed it.
Do I want to do it again?
No.
Yeah, please don't. It's terrible. No. Yeah, in general, I've been casually, when I'm not playing Sunshine, that's, you know, serious business speedrunning, you know. Casually, I've been doing 2 times a week, streaming my maddening playthrough of Fire Emblem Three Houses. Maddening difficulty is the hardest difficulty they released. And it's been a lot of fun, even though it's a matter of perspective when you stream games you're not known for. Because, like, I'll occasionally get people to come into my chat when I'm streaming it, and they're like, man, you should stream Sunshine. You get hella viewers for Sunshine, but you get, like, nothing for this. And that's true, obviously. But, dude, honestly, when I'm playing Fire Emblem and I have 20 viewers, like, I'm fucking stoked. Like, 20 people are willing to watch me play a game I'm not known for. That's pretty insane. If you think about
it. But why don't you play the game that you're more known for in order to cash in on those views?
Why don't you just only play one game the rest of your life? Wouldn't that be so much better? You get more viewers.
You would get, it's like, dude, you'd get more viewers.
You get more viewers, dude. It's easy. Mm. No. But that's what I'm saying. You got to stream what you enjoy. And honestly, whenever I get viewers for something that's not Sunshine, I know that they're watching more for me and, like, their love of that game. And it's pretty cool to me, in my opinion.
Dude, I feel the same way about Tetris. Whenever I stream Tetris and get viewers, I'm just like, dope.
Yeah, I truly cherish every viewer I get for Nana. That's what a little trip down memory lane. Do you remember hashtag equalize the view count?
Oh, hashtag equalize the view count, yeah.
Do you remember that strat that I used to do? I'll explain it right
now.
So,
it was webcam for every game other than Sunshine.
Right. I had a strat back in the day. Back in the olden Twitch days, we're
back,
talking
back,
like,
in the Thor plays days.
Yeah, Thor plays SMS. That was you. Because apparently you look like Thor. I mean, you kind of do. Sure. So,
thank you.
But basically, this is like 2014, 2015. Twitch was a younger website. Not, it was not as common to stream with webcam. Nowadays, everyone and their mother has webcam on their stream. But back in the day, it wasn't as common. And even me, in 2014, I never used face cam ever. But what I would do was, when I would play games that weren't Mario Sunshine, like I was playing Pac-Man World 2 or SSX Tricky, I would only use facecam for those games as incentive to watch those games versus Sunshine. I would not use webcam for Sunshine, just those games. And it actually somewhat worked. It was kind of genius.
Like, he's not playing Sunshine, but I do see his face now.
So I'll stick around for his face. Why not?
Yeah, I don't know. Well,
but
I like,
yeah,
that
honestly,
face.
I think it was a sick strat. Like,
it's good.
Back when webcam wasn't as normal, it was like, oh, this is kind of unique. I can see his face. Holy shit. I'm going to watch this game.
But now people can expect your face during Sunshine stream, so it's so lame.
So it's not as special, but
yeah.
Well, hey, at that point, it's like, hey, they're watching for the game, so more power to them. Yeah. Or me. Either way.
I've gone through phases with webcam. Mm-hmm. Like, when I started playing, when I was Thor Plays, that's what I was referencing. My stream titles used to be Thor Plays whatever game I was playing.
And you used to have hashtag, like a hashtag of the stream deal.
Yeah. Dude, hashtags were dope back in the day.
Like hashtag team fuck Trey or whatever.
Hashtag team fuck Trey.
That's like one of the OG ones.
Dude, top 10 Trey. And I'm the originator of a lot of Trey hashtags.
See, there was like this thing we had, like a little Sid and Trey rivalry where if you were team Trey, it was team gay for Trey. Team Sid was just team fuck Trey. So both
team
involved
Trey.
And like a negative or positive.
You can't make
way.
A hashtag with Sid. Hashtag cheer for Sid. Like, it's lame.
Nope, just team fuck Trey.
Team fuck Trey.
They just both have Trey's name in it. Whatever. Yeah. I don't know who Sid is.
I don't know. I wasn't really going to talk about anything, but my webcam thing. I used to use webcam a lot, and then I was just like, eh, fuck webcam. And then I periodically use webcam, and then I was, nowadays I'm like, webcam all the time. Suck my dick.
Yeah, nowadays it's not even like a cool thing anymore. It's just kind of expected of you.
Yeah. It's like, you need to cut your hair, sir. And I'm just like, you need to get banned from my chat.
Woo! Got him.
Got him.
Boomer. Get banned.
Boomer.
Oh, yeah, you were called a boomer, weren't you?
Get out of here.
Sid was called quite possibly the worst thing you can get called in 2019, which is a boomer.
Oh, boomer.
Oh, no, other than clown.
Other than clown.
The second worst thing, a boomer.
Oh, I had a question for you.
Yeah, what's up?
Well, considering we're done, we were talking about Fire Emblem, and I was talking about Last of Us last time, but everybody should play Last of Us, essentially. That's what that boils
Actually, wait,
down
before
to.
You get into that, let's drive out my Fire Emblem thought.
Go for it.
Any, I know there's at least a couple of viewers watching this right now who are into Three Houses. If you have any stories you want to share about your experience with that game, leave them in the comment below, what house you played, whatever. And if you want to catch my current stream of it, I'm streaming it generally Thursdays or Sundays. Kind of varies sometimes. I'm currently at like chapter 9 or 10 in Black Eagles, so check it out, dude.
In Black Eagles, on maddening difficulty after 2 gameplay, like this is your third playthrough.
Yeah, non-new game plus.
Yeah.
Someone, whoa.
He ain't no scrub.
I am hearing fireworks outside my room. What the heck?
Yes.
Do you hear that?
Because we're recording the podcast.
Woo, celebrate everybody.
They're recording the podcast. This is episode 2.
Video games are hard.
It's a month late. I had a question for you. It came
okay,
to mind.
Yeah, let's hear it.
I was looking through the the shit pile that is trending YouTube gaming.
Oh God.
Because I was watching a Donkey video. And,
hey, Donkey's pretty good.
Yeah, I love Donkey. Donkey's fun. I don't know how to say it. Is Donkey?
Video game Donkey.
Okay. He's funny as shit. I think he had like what is it? Dragon Quest IX. Dragon Quest 11.
Oh, I already know where this is going.
He's
like famous for shitting
on JRPGs.
Say your
thought. You definitely
right?
are not going where I think where I'm going.
Isn't he famous for shitting on games like that?
Yeah, but yeah. He also didn't like there were parts he shit on it for like the first half. Anyway, so I saw that it was number 3 on YouTube gaming trending or whatever.
Not
that
bad.
It was trending number 3. And I went, okay, well, I never look at trending. Why don't I look at trending? I looked at trending. Mostly, like, PewDiePie's number 1 with something in Minecraft. There's some Roblox. There's some Fortnite. There's less Fortnite than I thought, but it's mostly Minecraft, Roblox. And yeah.
The usual.
I was thinking, were you ever on YouTube gaming trending? Like, were you trending on YouTube gaming ever?
I don't even know what that... I've never checked... I barely check general trending, let alone gaming trending.
Like, I want to go perfect with mentioning the world record history video.
I'm 99% sure I've never been on that. Because the way that those videos took off for me, there was never, if they were on trending, they would have like popped off initially. Mm-hmm. But both of those videos had like a slow upcoming and like just slowly gained more views over time. So I kind of doubt it.
So I obviously don't understand YouTube trending at all.
Nope,
I think
sorry.
Most of those thumbnails look like utter trash.
Oh, which thumbnails?
Just like the thumbnail. Your world record history video thumbnail looks like a pile
looks
of
like
trash.
It's like a piece of shit, I know.
But no,
that's why
just like
trending.
I was looking through YouTube trending, I was just like, ugh.
That's why I don't look at it, because that's the reaction I'd have.
I've never gone through YouTube trending before, and that was basically my only question. So that was,
dude,
that was
a
lot
I'm
of
a
setup
huge...
for...
I'm a Not huge much. YouTube watcher, and I had no idea there was a subsection of trending for just gaming or other stuff.
Yeah, you can go on your I don't know how it works on the desktop, but on my mobile, I was just like, I pick trending, and then at the top, there's categories. And I
only ever go to my recommended, gaming. Ever. Because the algorithm knows what's best for me.
See, what I do is I go to Mixer, and I go to trending there.
And then I go to Ninja, the only Mixer streamer.
Then I go to Ninja.
Worth watching.
And then I go to look at the Super Mario Sunshine page, and I see all these numerous streamers of Super Mario Sunshine on Mixer.
And then I'm like, wait, the speedrun community for Sunshine is like 3 times bigger on Mixer. Holy crap.
Whoa.
Who are all these people I've never seen?
No, there's nobody on Mixer.
This dude on Mixer has a 113 any percent time? Whoa. I've never heard of him.
Somebody got a 113 on Mixer.
Yeah, just no one's heard of him because he's on Mixer.
So I was like, who's this guy?
Damn, dude. Mixer's litty.
I went to Mixer once, and I saw Ninja streaming, and I saw a bunch of other Fortnite people playing. And I was just like, oh, what about specific games? I went to Sunshine just to see. To be fair, Sunshine isn't the most active video game on Twitch even now. Like, mm-hmm. There aren't a lot of big streamers of it.
It kind of varies. It has its ebbs and flows.
There will be at least 5 viewers most of the time.
At any given moment, yeah.
For Sunshine. But sometimes there's like, I think just before we recorded, the Completionist was playing it, and there was like 1.5K viewers for Sunshine. But
damn.
I could talk about that, but I don't want to talk about that. I went to those games, and I went to Mario Maker 2, and there was no viewers for Mario Maker 2, and it was new. And I was
Mario just like, what the 2, fuck is this website? That's even more sad.
And I was just like, I could make an account, you know?
That's how they get you. That's how Mixer takes off. They're like, you check the site, you're like, damn, no one's playing this game? What if I play it? Everyone watches me. Holy shit.
For the record, that's not where I was going.
No, that's exactly where you were going. You're going to be the next big Mixer streamer. I can already tell.
It's like, I could make an account. I could get my free sub to Ninja. And I could.
You're going to be the Mario Maker 2 streamer on Mixer. Easy. The only one, but yeah, that's how you make it.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I don't really have a point.
You're just mentioning how Mixer, I forget who told me this or like had this idea. Maybe it was you, but Mixer would have been more likely to succeed if instead of taking one huge streamer like Ninja, they took a dozen or so fairly big streamers and put them on there.
Or like burgeoning streamers, stuff like that.
Yeah, like emerging streamers, just like a greater volume of relatively big streamers versus just one giant streamer who honestly nowadays you can probably like do without. He's kind of not as like crazy big as he once was. Obviously he's still huge, but not like at his peak. So
like the first 2 years of Fortnite or the first year and a half of Fortnite, he was just like, this guy's
he was
nuts.
The streamer. But like when Apex came around, I mean, Apex didn't kill Fortnite obviously, but there was definitely like a slight decrease in Ninja's popularity overall. I'd say like more people like Shroud and stuff popped off. So
yeah. Like whenever Ninja doesn't play Fortnite, he just like drops in viewers, and that wasn't a novel thing at the time. To be fair, I stole the idea of multiple smaller streamers from the game theorists. I watched the
oh that, yeah, I think that was your idea. Or yeah, it was from the game theorists. Crap, I'm referencing them.
I stole their idea. Like I talk about things. I regurgitate things when I'm
honest. I regurgitated your thing, so.
And you regurgitate my thing and then say it was my thing, and you know what? That's great.
You know what? It was the game theorist all along.
You were shouting me out the whole time.
Yeah, and there's your shout-out. Hope you enjoyed it.
There's my shout-out. I really have nothing else.
But yeah, dude, Ninja goes through the same thing. He'll be playing, like, Fortnite most of the time, have, like, 30,000 viewers, switch to Fire Emblem, have only 5,000, and all his chat's like, you know, you get more viewers for Fortnite.
Dude, it comes full circle. Everybody gets the Sunshine comment of, why are you playing Sunshine?
That's how it be, you know?
How it be, how it do.
Coming to you, Sid and Trey. I already fucked it up. Okay.
Yeah, you fucked it up.
Oh, well. We'll work on it. So what have you been up to in the video game realm?
Oh, shit. I could talk about what I'm doing in the video game.
Yeah, I talked about Fire Emblem. What are you doing?
Dude, Tetris 99 Woo. Daily. Tetris 99 daily is great. I think Nintendo's implementation of daily goals in Tetris 99 has made me come back to that game.
Is it Nintendo or Eureka or whatever?
Pardon me?
What's the company behind Tetris 99?
I don't.
Isn't it Eureka?
Sure.
The people who made Tetris the Grandmaster?
I don't know.
I don't know. Either way, I know what you're saying.
I'm just like, I hope you have a point.
My point was that it's not Nintendo, maybe.
Maybe
you're right. Maybe I'm retarded.
They have Mario shit. They have Link shit. They have Zelda shit.
They do have a lot of Nintendo references. Maybe it is Nintendo, for all I know.
Anyway, they have they've added the daily challenges and stuff. I have played every single daily challenge so far, and I have to play at least a half an hour of Tetris 99 every single day. And it's nice. It's kind of nice. I just play like one Tetris 99 game. The one annoying thing about the Tetris 99 thing is that the daily goals, there's one marathon goal, which is a DLC DLC setting, like DLC game mode.
Oh yeah, paid DLC.
Yeah, where you basically speedrun through 150 or 999 lives And there's a CPU mode where it's Tetris 99, but you're playing against CPUs, which, awesome, I guess.
Exciting.
If you don't want to get embarrassed online or anything like that, it's just like, oh, I really suck. I need to learn how to play this game. Fine.
Oh, yeah, the most embarrassing game to play. Everyone can tell who's who, of course.
But the daily challenges require you to play every single day, mind you, at least one game of marathon mode and at least one game of CPU. I don't know why CPU. Like, marathon I can kind of get. CPU, I don't need to play CPUs every single day.
You got to get your training in, you know?
Yeah, and then there's two goals for Tetris 99, which mostly, depending on the goal, require me to play one game of Tetris 99. Because after my first, even though this is my history of Tetris 99, I played my first 1,000 games. I didn't win one. I didn't win one game. I was dedicated to it. I never was a Tetris kid. I played a bunch of Tetris in those 1,000 games. I learned how to play Tetris, and now I'm pretty good at it. I'm not amazing at it. There are definitely people better than me, but I'm pretty good at Tetris now.
I remember those early days when you were just grinding for hours a day trying to win one game. And nowadays, what's your overall win rate?
I have a 6.43% win rate. Thanks for asking.
So that's pretty crazy. Like, Sid is an inspiration to all you upcoming Tetris players, you know? You gotta...
Or Sunshine players.
Or any video game player. But all video games are hard, yeah. Of course.
Yeah. Video game... Dude, Tetris was super fucking hard for me. Now it's easy.
Yeah, but basically...
But sometimes it's hard.
Keep in mind, that 6.4% win rate includes the 1,000 whatever losses he had initially. So he's gotten quite a bit better.
Somebody suggests, like, you should make a new account to, like, accurately gauge what your win rate is. I'm like, no, that sounds lame as shit.
You're like, no, I'm going to play a million and it'll be irrelevant.
Yeah.
After a million games, it'll be totally accurate.
So every single day I have to play, like, literally some of the daily challenges are play a CPU battle. Like, literally that's a ticket, which tickets are things that you exchange for themes and stuff, or just hoard them the way I'm doing right now in order to get the total 99 badge.
Is that still a thing? Icon. Like, when you were mentioning how there's achievements and stuff for, like, having a certain number of tickets, but it's not just the amount you've had overall, it's having it all at once.
You have to hoard your tickets in order to get those and not spend them on anything. So
that's ridiculous.
I got the 99 ticket achievement. It's basically an icon you put on your profile, whatever. And I got that after not spending any of my tickets for, I guess, a month or almost a month or something like that. But there's 99 tickets and there's also 999 tickets. So I don't know if I'm going to be able to get to that because that requires almost a year.
There's people out there intentionally not spending a penny so they can get that one achievement after a year.
Yeah. But then you can spend however much you want, I think. I don't think they'll take it away from you. That'd be weird.
The weirdest oversight to accidentally do something like that.
It's got to be an oversight, right?
Unless they just don't want you to spend stuff. Who knows?
Yeah, it's fucking weird. But yeah.
They reward patience.
I basically speedrun those challenges every single day. It's like, oh, you have to play one CPU mode and then one CPU battle. If it's no requirement in the CPU battle, I'll literally just open the game. You can't quit out. So you just, like, kill yourself
as fast as possible.
You literally just become 99th in a CPU mode. I can't count how many times I've come 99th in a CPU mode. But it's just like, oh, play one battle or play two CPU battles or whatever, and you just kill yourself twice, and then it gives you the ticket. And I'm just like, good, I don't have to play this mode. The one mode that I will never on purpose screw myself over in is Tetris 99. In marathon mode, I will get, like, the required amount of Tetrises or triples or the required amount of T-spins. T-spins are you have to learn how to do T-spins in order to do the daily challenges, which is kind of cool. I like that, but I know how to do T-spins now, so it's easy.
And honestly, T-spin doubles are pretty cruche for the Tet 99 meta, I'd say.
Definitely. They're definitely cruche.
Because, like, a double T-spin is worth the same as a Tetris, so pretty crazy.
Probably not T-spin triples, considering I've only done, like,
oh, fuck
three.
Those. Those have some weird convoluted setup.
I think I've done three in total, and I've played, according to Popo, 350 hours, but according to my Tetris game, 250 hours, so I don't know where.
Yeah, T-spin doubles is where it's at.
Yeah. They're the easiest ones. That you're just like, oh, I kind of block. Oh, it's a T-spin. Instead of like, okay, here's this little three-tall block, and then there's a little indent, and then you put a little overhang, and then you put it. It's just like, it's horrible.
If you're super used to classic Tetris, it's kind of awkward at first, but the more you do it, the more you just sort of see the pattern in your head before it even happens, and you just do it.
Yeah. T-spins become second nature.
Just don't even think about it anymore.
if you've played over 1,000 games. But yeah, but I will do the daily challenges in Marathon, where it's just like, oh, you have to do 2 Tetrises or 5 T-spins or however much, and then or 3 back-to-backs or a combo. The highest combo requirement for a daily challenge is 3. So that's literally putting like clearing a single line 4 times in a row. That's it. That's literally the minimum combo max combo that's been required for daily challenges.
That's weirdly easy.
I will do the Tetrises or the goal required in Marathon and then kill myself. I'll be like, okay, I did the goal. And then it'll give me the ticket and then I go on to the Tetris 99. Because that's what everybody plays for. Why do I want to play against... Speedrunning is fine. There's the speedrun mode with Marathon and I get it. Mm-hmm. Maybe people are really into that. I get that. But who wants to play against CPUs? I don't know who that person is.
Yeah, I don't get it. I mean, what are all the difficulties? On the highest difficulty, are the CPUs actually kind of hard?
Yes, they're actually pretty hard.
Okay.
But also, going into CPU mode, there's an icon requiring... All right, a little bit of backstory. There's an icon requiring you to beat, I think, 5 games of level 5 CPU, which is the highest CPU. But it doesn't keep track of how many badges you enter the game with. And entering the CPU battles, you can do level 5 CPU, but right below it, there's another option for you to add however many badges. Badges being how much power you get from... You get badges from killing people, and then it exacerbates your power against those people. Like, you send more lines for you clear.
Like, one badge gives you 25% more power, yeah. 3 badges, 75%, up to 100% for 4 badges.
And the percentage... equates to like how many additional lines, like if you sent 4 lines to a competitor without any badges, you would send 5 if you had 25% power, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So you can start off with 4 badges. So it's just like
essentially make it twice as easy. Yeah,
it's super easy. To be fair, at the end game with 5s, it's like the exact same, unless basically you can get top 10 for free against level 5 CPUs, but then you have to play kind of okay. But yeah, right. There's an icon for winning 5 games against CPUs. 5 games against level 5 CPUs. But you can start each match with the max amount of power you can. So it's just like, what the fuck?
It's just a weird achievement.
This is a joke. But yeah, that's my rant about Tetris 99. That's what I play most of the time.
I find it surprising and admirable that your passion for Tetris is still going strong.
Dude, when I was a kid, I hated Tetris. My sister played a bunch of Tetris. She was really good at it. And whenever I sat down to play basic Tetris, I always got bored. Just like, this is boring. Mm-hmm. I'm bored. I want to go play Zelda. I'm going to go play Ocarina of Time for the 7th time. I'm 8 years old at this time, probably, at this point.
Speaking of Tetris, I believe the next Classic Tetris World Championship is coming up October 18th through 20th. Are you aware of that?
And I'm competing in it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Nah, dude, you would get owning Classic Tetris. Trust me.
I would suck so bad.
You know what it is, right?
No.
It's the version of NES Tetris, right?
Oh, yeah, no
so
hold.
There's no hold feature. You get only one preview, and when a piece hits the floor or whatever, it instantly locks down. So it's quite a bit harder than modern Tetris. So mad respect to the people in that tournament.
I'm really good at modern Tetris.
Yeah, that's your forte is
modern
Tetris.
Yeah, modern Tetris. I'm not Cephalon. I'm not trying to be a grandmaster or anything like that. I'm just playing the battle royale version of Tetris that everybody kind of went, oh my god, dude. When Tetris 99 was suggested at first, people were just like, this is a great idea, and I was like, this is a great idea.
Yeah, everyone instantly was like, dude, this is sick and it's free, okay, we'll just all play it.
Yeah, and like I was kind of, when Tetris 99 came out, I was just like, I want them to release DLC so that I can be like, I'm supporting your this idea is a really good idea, I'm gonna support this. So I bought the CPU and Marathon battles, and God, do I regret it.
And that's how they made their money off of shitty DLC, because of people wanting to support them.
I played it twice. But before the daily challenges, I played those modes twice. And then the daily challenges showed up. I have to play them every goddamn day.
I mean, no one's like putting a gun to your head to do it, but you know, you just gotta do it.
I
want to
get the daily challenges. That's the Farmville in me.
Everyone has a little Farmville in them.
everybody has a little Farmville in them.
Currently, my Farmville is for Fire Emblem. For that game, I'm feeling an obsession I haven't felt since, I don't know, early Minecraft days, maybe? It's kind of crazy.
And it's not necessarily fun all the time.
Yeah, it's not always fun, I'll admit. You know, it's got, like, it's fishing, it's got its dining hall segments. Not the most exciting thing, but it's like, I love it. I still love it.
Tea time, though.
Okay, don't shit on tea time.
Never shit on tea time.
Tea time is fucking rad.
Tea time is for men of class.
I'm actually especially excited for my next Fire Emblem stream. I'm about to do what people know as the Goddess Tower, which is you can take your lovely waifu to the Goddess Tower, have a nice chat with her, and you know, hit it off pretty well, you know. And I'm taking my girl Leone, who I perfect tea timed early in the playthrough. She's my girl, let me tell you.
Mm-hmm. Leone.
I'm pretty hyped for that stream.
But yeah, I think that's the most accurate thing we've said on these podcasts. If you take nothing away from this second podcast, if like you learn nothing about Tetris 99, just totally skip over this. The only thing I want you to reiterate from this podcast is everybody has a little bit of Farmville in them. It's not that Farmville was fun. It's that Farmville kept you coming back every 16 hours to harvest your corn, or every 2 hours when you were just like, I'll be back at my setup in 2 hours in order to harvest my berries.
I think it's the most interesting things when, first of all, how do game developers know that stuff will work? Second of all, why does it work?
I don't know.
Because that it worked for me extremely hard with the original GameCube Animal Crossing. I was obsessed with that game for quite a bit. And it came in waves. Like there was 3 or 4 different waves in my life where for a couple of months I would just religiously play Animal Crossing. I would like fish for hours. I would try to get certain furniture to get my HRA score up for my home. And then after 2 months or so, I would just one day just stop playing it for the next year, then come back to it randomly. It's so weird. I don't even get it.
To be fair, a lot of those games like Animal Crossing, a lot of people have told me that Animal Crossing is fun. I've never played an Animal Crossing. Farmville was categorically not fun.
You see, even Animal Crossing, okay, aspects of it is fun. Overall, though, I look back on it and I'm thinking, why is this fun?
It's not,
why did I play
sense.
This religiously? I don't get it.
I remember my in high school, my girlfriend's, I don't remember who he was, but it's just like somehow related to my girlfriend. He made fun of me for playing Farmville. I'm like, no, this is hip and groovy.
Dude, like, at the time it was like, hip. I won't lie.
Like, he didn't make fun of me a lot, but I remember he poked fun at it for like an evening, and I the whole time I was just like, no, you're wrong, Farmville's the coolest.
he poked fun at you for that, and now he's probably the biggest Facebook normie along with the rest of them, right?
Yeah, and now I'm speedrunning Super Mario Sunshine. Now who's the asshole? I don't know.
And now we're above Facebook, so look at us now, hater.
Yeah,
we're on that Twitter grind, you know, Twitter, the real social media platform.
Mm-hmm.
Follow us on Twitter, by the way.
Oh yeah, yeah. Sure. I've gotten 2 YouTube subscribers since the last podcast, by the way.
Ooh, you're welcome.
Yeah, thanks. I guess
I'm basically creating your career right now.
No, we're working together on this. I was looking
as your host
the
and
comments.
As you being my co-host. Yeah.
No, I'm just like I'm the guest for the first few.
You're always the guest.
I'm just like, oh, it's the video games are hard with Trey and Sid all the time.
It's the Trey podcast with Sid.
I'm always the safety guest. I'm Adam Carolla to Jimmy Kimmel at the beginning of his career.
By the way, can we ever expect to have guests on this podcast?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
At some point, for sure.
It's a simple answer. I would yes. like to get a few people, not even people that I'm like super friends with. I think it'd be cool to get J. Cool at some point on this podcast to talk just things like Sunshine. Like get his point of view on a lot of things.
I agree. I want to get his perspective on some stuff.
But like Super Sunshine specific or speedrunner, like our guests are definitely going to be speedrunners.
It'll be mostly speedrun stuff. That is sure. without a doubt.
Like we don't have any reach outside of this sphere, or I don't have any reach inside of this sphere, but Trey has reach. So I'm going to,
we don't have anything
reach.
As far as guests, we don't have anything solidified. There's only one guest we know 100% at some point will happen, and that is Jeradam.
Jeradam.
We're gonna get Jeradam, dude.
During the podcast that didn't air and won't air,
the forbidden episode,
I was just like, One guest that I think would be really cool to have would be Jeradim, because I don't know what the fuck he'd talk about. Like, he's a super smart guy. He runs Twilight Princess, or used to run Twilight Princess. He's been trying to get back.
I think he still does. He comes back to it every now and then.
Yeah, he takes a lot of breaks, but like, I think he'd be a really interesting guy to, like, I don't know what he'd talk about.
And I agree. I just thought it was so funny when you mentioned that. It was just so out of left field. I was like, oh, Jeradim. Yeah, he exists.
Yeah, you could go into our group of, but like, our group of friends is easy. Like, we could get Calf on the podcast next week if we really wanted to.
Anyone in the good people, we could just get whenever.
Yeah, Cephalon and Quantiza.
Optimistic Emo, Phoenix, any of those people.
Goomba, if we.
Ooh, Goomba, that'd be a good one. Yeah, the Double Goomba, Dash Lord himself.
Shift, if we played our cards right.
Oh yeah, he might be beefing with you right now. I don't know.
Yeah, we're always beefing.
You got to get Shift on a week where he's not beefing with you.
Or his little brother, with his.
Oh yeah, I think his little brother made a game, didn't he?
Yeah, pure heart.
Pure heart.
What's the Twitter?
I kind of am unprepared to talk about this. I don't know what the game's even called.
It's a tether game that Optimistic Emo was grinding for hours and hours and hours last night. That
it's like a 2D platformer with a grappling hook and some stuff. And
it was essentially plugged on his Twitter as just like, oh, hey, if there's any speedrunners that want to play this game, that'd be cool as shit. And I will give you a download code. At PureHeartSTU. So at PureHeartStu on Twitter.
I went to Shift's. By the way, Shift is a Battle for Bikini Bottom speedrunner, pretty well known. Mm-hmm. I went to his Twitter and found the retweet on here. And yeah, it's Pure Heart STU.
And Optimistic Emo, who's a notable Mario Kart Double Dash. Every time we say Optimistic Emo, we're going to say notable Mario Kart Double Dash speedrunner.
Second best Double Dash player in the world.
He's the best in my heart.
Honestly, and right now he might be the best because Goomba's been pretty inactive.
But yeah, he was grinding this for a while and it seemed really fun. So if anybody's interested in that, like, you can DM him. DM the Pure Heart STU guy or like message. Don't DM him. Message him on the tweet that was posted. See if anybody's interested in playing that game. But it looks kind of cool. Emo was having a lot of fun with it. It's speedrun focused. There's a timer on screen at all times. Speedrunners love that shit.
I thought you were gonna say don't DM him. Message him privately.
Yeah, message him privately if you will.
But yeah, it looks really sick. I don't know if I'd play it because I suck at games like this. But I was watching Emo play it and it looked pretty fun.
Yeah, and he was having some trouble with the later levels, and he was even questioning if the developer was able to do it himself.
I had a theory. It's like, he must have done this segmentator, this some kind of dev block, because some of those later levels look insanely hard.
Well, it's not like Mario Maker. He doesn't have to clear the game.
Yeah, there's no rules. It's his own game. It can be impossible for all we know.
Yeah, that checkpoint could be a total troll checkpoint, you know? He might be stuck there forever. But yeah, I don't know. I randomly talked about that, and we could get that guy.
Yeah, let's get Shift's little brother.
that's basically what we're talking about. We'll probably have guests. Maybe some people we like. Maybe some people we just have a difference
that we
of
hate.
Opinion
we want to get their perspective on stuff.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
No, we don't. We don't hate anyone. I'm just kidding.
We don't hate anyone. Nobody.
We love everyone equally. Mm-hmm. Totally.
Yes, love everyone equally
at all times.
I feel like that's true. I feel like that's untrue. I feel like you're a liar.
Yeah, I'm lying. Anyway.
What were we talking about before we talked about guests?
We were talking about guests. What do you mean before the guest thing?
Yeah, before the guest thing.
Everyone has a little Farmville inside them.
Okay. One thing I wanted to say about Farmville. Like, I know there's the Blizzard thing that's happening right now about Hong Kong and stuff. Whatever. I'm going to talk about specifically Overwatch. And what I mean by there's a little Farmville inside of everyone. I equate... I'm a Mercy main in Overwatch, all right? You might puke into your hand right now as you're listening.
Ugh, you disgusting. Might be like, ugh. Not a shooty shooty bang bang character? Ugh.
I love playing Mercy in Overwatch. I haven't played a lot of Overwatch lately at all. The meta totally could have changed. Maybe Mercy's horrible. I played Mercy when she was horrible. The reason that I play Mercy is because, one, I suck at first-person shooters. So I don't need to have my gun out most of the time. I've been getting better at first-person shooters. I'm still not good. I've won a couple games of Apex carried by a random guy that's super high playing with Trey.
Oh, yeah. We both got carried by that one guy. Dude, what is it with people on Apex? They're like vaping and just being way better than us as well. How is this possible?
We can talk about that in a sec. But my point for Mercy is that the reason I like playing Mercy is because it feels I get the exact same rush that I used to play or used to get playing Farmville. Like, I just get to fill up everybody's health bar, like manage everybody's health bar. That's what I'm doing. It's not exactly Farmville, like you, but it's like managing health bars and not like the funnest game, but it's like put into a first person shooter and avoiding being killed. Ugh, I love that shit.
Yeah, I think it's so interesting that you took this FPS game and sort of made it your own in that way. Yeah,
it's like I'm just managing everybody's health bar. And if somebody is mad at me for not managing their health bar enough, no, you fucked up. You fucked up if I didn't manage your health bar. I'm really good mercy. I'm a really good mercy. Fuck you.
And you must have been a top-tier Farmville player because you were a master in mercy, right?
I was a master. I was definitely a master.
You were a master. I was diamond, actually. Overwatch master.
I never played a lot of...
Not a grandmaster, but, you know, master, still pretty...
But, yeah, what we breezed over there, the Apex game, we played with a random online guy who was super high. He was communicating with us. We were communicating with him, and we were shooting the shit, kind of.
Just having a grand old time.
We didn't, like, add each other afterward or anything like that. But I remember we played through the whole game. Trey was helping him out, and I was trying to do my own thing, and I died.
Dude, we were sucking balls like always that game.
We sucked so bad. And then after that game was over, Trey and I kind of looked at each other after the guy left, after the game was over, and we just kind of went to our own lobby. We just kind of looked at each other.
Even though we won that game, I just sort of felt like secondhand embarrassment or something.
Because
this dude got like 10 kills for us. We had like 0 to 1 kills each. And we're just like...
He lifted me off the ground, I think, twice. Like... We were just weights on his back, and he just carried us through the end. And
I
Trey
think
and I
my only kill was like one at the very end. That was it.
Trey and I afterwards just kind of looked at each other over the internet and went, "Yeah, we don't have to play this game anymore."
I think legitimately that was the last game I ever played.
To be fair, I've been like trying to get back. I want to play with Emo and stuff more often because I suck at shooters, and I think that would be better for me to play games.
I want to as well because I need to get better at that. But then I'm like. I don't know. I'm never going to get that good at these.
But
it's hard.
We just put a hard stop on Apex at that point. Like, we didn't play for months. Or Trey hasn't played since, and that was months and months ago.
This was, like, season one Apex we're talking.
Before season one.
Oh,
like
true,
before,
yeah.
Before it was even...
It was during thing. the Battle Pass thing initially.
But yeah, I'd like to get better at FPSs. Because it's definitely... FPSs are definitely the game that I suck the most at.
And I think I suck... Even to a slightly more degree than Sid does, so it's pretty bad.
Well, to be fair, specifically PC shooters. Like, I used to play COD when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah.
I was
PC
one of those COD
well,
kids.
Yeah.
But, like, console shooters and PC shooters, way different because, you know what? There isn't... what do they have in consoles? They have the auto aim a little bit, right?
Yeah, to some extent. Kind of depends on the game.
Yeah. But I used to be really good at console shooters, but PC shooters definitely not the exact same.
Yeah, PC shooters just requires way too much precision I have not developed.
It's hard to keep things in the center of my screen.
I suck at moving my mouse in a fluid manner.
It's not. No, it's like moving camera in Super Mario Sunshine. You don't have to put the goal in the middle of your screen, so you just kind of like know what's going on and move within the world as the camera is pointed. Mm-hmm. And stuff like that. But then you try to like flip it on its head and go to an FPS, and you have to keep what you're doing in the middle of your screen. It's like, I hope I said that specifically or well enough, but it's hard to explain. It's like
in Sunshine, you have sort of 2 degrees of control. So if you're moving through a world, you can sort of like correct yourself based on your camera angle. Because your camera's not going to be 100% consistent. It might be like a little, like a few degrees off from where it might usually be. But with that, you can sort of like do a different angle on your control stick and sort of not even think about it, just sort of correct it subconsciously. Whereas in a first-person shooter, your only degree of control is where you're aiming, and you have to have that one thing on lock when it's needed, and it's kind of hard.
I feel like it's pretty much exact. It's not exact opposites, but it's opposite enough. And it, because you have to have the focus of what you're doing in the middle of your screen versus, I don't know, you don't really have to move your camera, but you can move your camera to do whatever. It's very strict camera work versus very not strict, like very.
Not to mention,
very
I'm like I'm a much bigger controller person. I've never been a big PC gamer, so
yep.
It's just sort of new to me. Yeah. But yeah,
I played COD when I was 14, but or not COD, CS 1.6 when I was 14, but that was for, I don't know, 6 months, and I wasn't that good.
See, that's way more experience than I had. I never played PC shooters growing up. My first PC shooter was Overwatch.
And your May, very, very good.
Ooh, the best May you'll ever see. Immaculate ice wall placement. Always.
Play of the game as May, Trey.
Trey's gay what? May play of the game in the month of May. Playing as May.
Gay with a G-H-E-Y. Different.
Yeah, whenever you have gay and Trey in the same sentence, you got to spell it G-H-E-Y.
Yeah, you have to.
It's just otherwise, them's the rules, okay? Them's the rules.
Otherwise, it's uncouth.
Yeah, if you say like the regular spelling of gay, that's just a little insensitive.
Yeah, definitely insensitive.
Come on, man. Calm down.
The other way, buddy. Totally fine. Yeah,
but yeah, Overwatch, just click on their heads, lol. It's easy.
Yeah, as Widow.
Easy game, easy life.
And you win. Yeah, it's hard. It's a hard game. I like the movement characters in those kinds of games.
Like Lucio.
Dude, I loved Lucio for 60 hours, and then I realized he was brain dead.
Dude, Lucio was the one character I was decent at because he's just so brain dead. You just sort of stand around the vicinity of people and, like, speed them up or heal them. And then,
like, shoot in the direction. Like, you have basically projectile bullets anyway, so it doesn't even matter. Like, you're just kind of like, I'm going to shoot pretty much where they are going to be or where they should be or something. And
you're like, okay, I'm going to run to this ledge and hope someone's there and boop them off.
Boop them off.
They go, let's go, Lucio.
Ooh. Oh, I won. Play the game.
Play the game. You got two boops at once. Holy shit.
Whoa.
Double boop. Play the game.
And then that Roadhog tried to hook you, but it got you, but then he went behind the wall, so it detached.
What? Dude, Roadhog's hook went through so many transformations from like shitty to amazing. It's kind of funny.
I don't even know if it's amazing anymore. Dude, I haven't played that game.
Maybe it's
so long.
The best thing ever now. I have no idea.
Dude, I'm glad that we had a Tetris.
I haven't played Overwatch since like 2016.
I'm so glad we had a Tetris 99 segment in this podcast. Oh,
so your favorite game.
Mm-hmm. You waxed poetically in the episode that will not be named, or will not
the,
be
the forbidden episode.
Yeah, about Fire Emblem for like 5 minutes. But you know what? We're gonna air a podcast where I wax poetically about Tetris 99.
Oh yeah, and back on that Tetris thing, the classic Tetris tournament. I wonder if. You know Joseph Saley?
Nope.
He's like the savant of that game. He won the previous one as a total up-and-coming player. He's known for his hyper-tapping, where he can, like, when it gets to, like, the maximum speed, which should be essentially impossible for humans to play because it's so fast, he can, like, tap his D-pad inputs fast enough to get the pieces across the board, and it's pretty insane. But
ugh.
I wonder if he'll win the next CWTC, CT, too many letters.
Maybe he's as good as my dad used to be at Space Invaders.
Ooh.
To reference.
I remember that story when they were literally inside his character.
From a month ago. Trey and I did re-listen to the first podcast.
Yeah. Even though it was a month ago, we did re-listen to it. And it sounds a lot better than I remember it being, which is good.
Yeah, I thought it sounded good. You put like an addendum at the start. You put the preamble. I love the word preamble, by the way. That's why.
Oh, you mean like the audio quality, like the sound of it.
I thought it sounded
okay.
Fine.
It wasn't bad, but it was definitely, like, you could tell I was on Discord.
Yeah.
Somewhat.
Sure. Well, we are.
And there were moments where I was, like, sort of bugging out a little bit, but it wasn't, like, major or anything, so. I don't know.
That's a good Trey ism.
Basically, long story short, I'm way too hard on myself. I'll always, whenever I'm, like, going to release any form of content ever, I triple, quadruple check and question myself, like, is it good? Is it good? I don't know. Then I put it out and I'm like, yeah, I guess it's all right. Even with the original, I always mention it, Any Percent History video. With that video, I wasn't even sure if it'd be good when I was making it. It was just, because you hear your voice droning on over and over again when you're editing it, and you're like, is this even good? But then it's out there and you're like, I guess it's okay. It's all right.
Dude, legit, sometimes when I'm having conversations with people and talking for 3 minutes straight, I'm just like, am I boring? Like,
oh, dude, that's me all the time. Whenever I have any social interaction after it, I'm like, do you think I'm fucking retarded?
No, I don't even worry about their perspective on it. I just kind of like think to myself, I'm like, I think I'm being really boring right now. Like,
I mean, yeah, at work, especially at work, I could get into like more work stories and stuff. I don't have any, but maybe next episode I could like.
I could get into more work stories. I don't have any.
No, nothing like super crazy. Like, oh my God, there was a fire. Like nothing super crazy, but
yeah, the only good stories are fire.
Fire. Anyway.
Yep. Well, we've been going for an hour and a half. I think we should.
Yeah, it's
you know what? I'll be
length.
The tray of the. I'll be the episode two version of Trey. It's like, you know what, Trey? I think we're going a little bit too long.
What? I think it was fine. I was telling you to shut up because it's going on too long.
Shut up. Shut up.
Shut up, Freddy.
We've been. It's an hour and 15 minutes. And this is,
this is way too long.
Way too long.
But yeah, I've been average Trey.
I'm Sided Williams. Apparently, this is a wrap up.
We also have a Twitter. We have Twitter. We have our own Twitter accounts.
Should we do like a recording of the ending? Like at some
no,
point?
This is more authentic. This is more.
No, you want to do an authentic? Just like I'm Sided Williams.
Yeah. If we have like a little like a having a post amble would not feel as fresh, you know.
True, I guess. But there's a lot of podcasts that have post ambles.
Yeah, is that even a word?
No.
Well, now it is. It's the post-amble.
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 Post-amble. But yeah, I tweet at Sided Williams, but I don't know. It's okay. And I stream at twitch.tv/Sided Williams.
And the majority of my Twitter is just tweeting at my streams, which are on twitch.tv/AverageTrey. Whoa.
Whoa.
And yeah, one final thing. I'm still working on the video with EasyScape. It should be out sometime in the next month. I don't know how much longer he has for editing. We're still just like, I've never collaborated on a video like this before, so it's kind of interesting, but I think it'll turn out okay. So
the only EasyScape video I know of is the one that he called out the Yu-Gi-Oh player on.
Oh, that was pretty epic.
And then I think that one got deleted, right?
I don't remember.
Or something. Whatever. Anyway,
we've been.
That's the end of the podcast. Yep. You guys have a good day. We'll see you next week.
We may need a post-name. Well, this sucks.